Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's great to have you. What a weekend it's been. Round three is in the bank of the WNBL, and of course, round nine is in the bank for the NBL. We have FIBA break this week. It's all happening. Botonda! How are you, my man?
I'm very well. Watching that James Bateman performance was so inspiring. And then also in the WNBL, you know, a game goes to overtime, a game gets won on a last shot. Sammy Whitcomb is just, you know, making an MVP statement. So, yeah, we got a little bit to talk about.
Brilliant. Well, let's start with the WNBL, and you called it Sammy Whitcomb as such. They got the win, Bendigo, over the Sydney Flames, which I think we both predicted, did we not?
Yep.
90-71. Look, great production by Bendigo. They just keep going on and on and on. Sammy Whitcomb, 23-5-6. Tolo, 21. Mate, they're rolling. And they got a double, obviously, this weekend, if we're going to say it. They obviously got the win against Townsville as well. We'll come back to that one. But let's talk about the Flames first.
Look, I'm a little disappointed with where they're at, to be honest, because, I guess I just expected more from a Guy Malloy team, really, but maybe they're still finding their way.
I agree with you, and I'm glad you said that, because if you remember last week, not so to say, but I just thought Loz Nicholson is too big of a loss that it doesn't hurt you eventually. And I think that's where I think they'll get up and down, because they've got some youth girls there that are great, but not experienced yet. You know what I mean?
There's a tough round coming up for them again, too, on the road. So life doesn't get any easier in this league. But you were spot on in picking Bendigo to beat Townsville and Townsville. I thought Townsville would get them, particularly because of the celebration of Michaela Cox's career. Great Townsville Fire Championship player, terrific player. Nice. And I thought, because of the occasion, that might just add a little bit for the Fire, but Bendigo put them out. So they're the team. They're the team to beat, no question.
Canberra pushed Perth as far as they could, but Perth got the win, and you called it there. You said it was a beautiful little finish to the game. Talk to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Alex Cipitone at one end blocks a shot, which was very important at 90-all, and then she throws a cross-court pass to Annalie Maley, who takes a dribble, takes a shot, and swish. It's 92-90, and they won the ball game. So, that was a pretty good
play. That was her seventh point for Annalie as well. It wasn't like she had 30, you know what I mean?
She was 2 of 9 from the floor before that shot. So it's
still out of 10 rebounds and stuff, so she did well. I think we obviously both picked Perth, but the Caps were good. Like, you know, 92-90, good scoring game too. Geelong, dude.
That was sensational.
We're not picking them. What's going on?
Well, they were 15 down at one stage. They're 47-57 down at three-quarter time. Yep. 47 points, you know, and you're 10 down. And they came home and steadily, if you look at what Adelaide scored,
I've got it here, 17-7 in the fourth quarter, 8-2. In the overtime. So that means, what's overtime?
25 to 9.
Yeah, 25-9 in 20 minutes. No, yeah, 15 minutes.
So their defense was extraordinary in that time. And they found the right players. Keely Froelich stepped up.
Steph Talbot in the team would be very, very raw and obviously, you know.
But a terrific player.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when I saw that she was in the lineup, I thought, oh, poor old Geelong. You know, the other couple of teams that have beaten
poor
Adelaide.
Poor old Geelong. They're going amazing. Now, we spoke about Bendigo. Obviously, Sammy Whitcomb, a 30-piece, takes on Townsville. And, 84-76, good win by them.
And then Southside bounced back 98-77 over Canberra, which was probably a little disappointing from Canberra. But then they may have had a little bit of a letdown after losing in that manner. To Perth, and 90-92, that's a hard one to swallow. I mean, you're coming up against Southside, who are now on the upswing.
No, you're 100% right. Just to let you know, Geelong's in fourth spot at 2-2, buddy.
Just to let you know, Richmond in the AFLW have been eliminated from the finals, which means Monique Conti is not far away from joining the Geelong team. Chris Lucas, the coach, will usually give her a couple of weeks off, as he did with the Boomers, but she'll be coming in too, so... Yep. Interesting times.
Love her. She's great. Look, I'm going to get your tip straight away for round four, then we'll come to the player of the round. So let's start with Wednesday. No FIBA break, just in case. Anyway, there's nothing for the women, obviously. They continue to play, which is great. Also want to talk to you about the announcement this week about the NBL and Larry Kesselman.
Well, we've seen it's officially announced.
So that's a great thing for the women. Absolutely great.
You can just looking at the coverage.
Yeah. The, it, well, Well, I just feel that they would think, beautiful, now we can be that professional sport that we want to be and not looking over your shoulder, am I going to have a job next year? That's what I feel is great for them. Adelaide at home to the Flames. Whoa,
this is the toughest one. Can we come back to this one? Because the other ones, I can tell you, I'm going Townsville over Canberra, Geelong over Canberra, Townsville over Adelaide, Perth over Sydney, Bendigo over Southside.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I'm going to go
Adelaide, Sydney.
I think Adelaide at home because I think Steph Talbot's got the runs under an hour and I think they'll be better for it.
So you're saying, basically I'm agreeing with you, but that, what we're saying then is that Sydney's going to lose twice this round. It's going to lose to Adelaide and Perth, the WNBL equivalent of the Doomsday Double.
Yeah.
I do see Sydney getting one of those, but...
I know what you mean. I think Sydney will get better as the season goes on. And don't forget, they've had a few away games now. Like this will be three or four, you know, in a row. They got their first win at home and blah, blah. That was against Capitals, wasn't it? Yeah, that first one. So, all right, play of the round, buddy.
For me, it's when a player hits a shot that wins a game, that pretty much gets it over the line for me. And that's Annalee Maley in that one, even though she was 2 of 9, probably didn't have a great game, but the winning shot. And I've got an honourable mention to Keely Froling, another 19 points, 13 rebounds, and really came through in the last quarter in overtime when they needed her leadership. So that's the way I'm going. But there's probably a more obvious one.
Yeah, Sammy Whitcomb. I can't, I mean, she's a standout for the MVP of the year so far. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's early, right? But she is 23-5-6 in the first game, 37-6. And I think she had 2 steals as well in the second game. Like, absolutely fabulous. You know, this is coming off an Olympics, NBA. Sorry, I should say WNBA, sorry. Yeah, but then straight into NBL. Man, there is no rest and she is humming.
Mate, she's even cooking the sausages at the barbecue. So, I mean, there's nothing that Sammy can't do right now.
Oh, love it. All right, that's the WNBL wrap. And again, fantastic and loving the fact that there is going to be that continuity with the NBL. And I think Robin is the owner of the Flames and involved with the WNBL. And Larry, I think that is going to be a perfect relationship for a great environment for these girls. So congratulations.
Fingers crossed. It's long overdue, let's face it.
Round 9 in the bank. Oh, my God, what a round that is. So, mate, where do we start? So, where we start is give game. Me a 6. Well, let's give me a 6. No, we'll do the 6. Okay. All right
here they go. 1 to 6. I've got 1, I've got Melbourne. 2, I've got Illawarra. 3, I've got Adelaide. 4, I've got Sydney. 5, I've got New Zealand. 6, I've still got Southeast Melbourne, despite losing on the road to Perth. I've still got them. I'm not a believer in Perth. I'm sorry. I mean, and the refereeing they got in that game compared to what they got in Brisbane, where it was, I think, a lot more balanced, was significant.
We have a problem, Botond.
What's that?
We have a problem, Botond. I got the same 6, mate. That ain't good. Yeah. Now we're agreeing. This is just too much.
You're not smart.
All right, let's talk about the Melbourne. Wow.
Yep.
What the hell happened in Melbourne yesterday?
Well, the way I saw it, like let's take it from the start. Montrezl Harrell gets called for a charge. He hits Rob Lowe square in the chest. Rob Lowe definitely grabs his arm and brings him down onto him, but he didn't do it in a malicious manner, and then he pushed him off himself, and then Montrezl didn't like that.
Well, that was what I saw. The reaction was from the sort of push off by Rob Lowe. Yep. I agree.
Overreaction.
With you. Yeah, overreaction, but no intent met by Rob.
No. And then Shaili jumps in because it doesn't matter if it's Montrezl Harrell or Hulk Hogan. Shaili's not scared of anyone.
And that's his teammate. And not only his Melbourne teammate, his New Zealand teammate as well.
Yeah, so he jumps in and then it gets a little bit untidy for a little while.
Both Rowan, do you agree with?
Yeah.
I think you have to. And that's a much worse more for Adelaide by losing Montrezl than it is for Shay.
I didn't think Dele was having a great game and he hurt him a few times with what he was doing. But anyway, so then we move it over toward the benches and then we get the spectators, plural, getting involved with the Adelaide bench and the players and a little bit of push and shove and whatever. And that's just not on. Those people have to be banned. They know who they are. You know, name and shame them, ban them, get them out of our game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think it will go to Basketball Australia. I wasn't actually sure because you know how the integrity it goes from Basketball Australia or the NBL. I'm not 100% sure, but look, that it'll be taken care of, and you know everyone's come out, and I think you said has someone put a video up from behind or something.
Yes, Brendan Favola of the AFL,
Carlton
and Brisbane. He was there and he's put some footage up. So if you see that, it'll definitely consolidate what you think of it. Like people have an opinion of it now on the basis of supposition and maybe that, but that one is very clear as to what happened.
There was a guy that was videoing right behind it. I don't know him, but I mean that man, you could buy that off him the way he was filming that. He was right there. That was unbelievable. So Brendan sounds like he's got the same one as well. To all our listeners, we'll speak to Brendan because we're obviously just going to up his, listeners and followers on Twitter now because we've just told him, or X is whatever it's called. So now all our listeners are running there. Oh, shout out to Chucky Harmison. I know he's listening. I saw him on Saturday night too. And geez, wasn't he happy that the Kings got belted by Illawarra?
Yes.
All right, let's move on. That's our team number two. Interesting game. Sydney, I'm shaking my head. Don't know. Illawarra, don't want to say it was their best game, but geez, they were good. And Hung Jong Lee, man, that guy, he was so, and I'm saying this in the positive, the arrogance to shoot it off the backboard when he shoots the three.
It was deliberate too.
Oh, absolutely. It was deliberate. Yeah. It's fantastic. I love it. Good on him.
His was one of two performances in this round that I think was kind of lost in other things. The other one was Flynn Cameron hitting seven threes in the win over Adelaide. That was kind of lost in everything else that's gone on since. And yeah, I think Lee talking about Illawarra, I think they are starting to refine who they were before they went a bit off the rails with the refereeing and Trey Kell being reintroduced. So I think we're on our way to seeing them back to being the championship contender we always thought they were.
Yeah. Look, Sydney won the last quarter 25-19. I just felt, I just don't know, like, you know, Jalen Adams had 23, but it was 20 points. That's what, 20 shots, 6 assists, 5 turnovers. I like what Jalen's given them. They look better with the ball in Jalen's hands, but then sometimes it's that decision-making. And I thought Illawarra did some as well. And not just them, there's other teams doing it. Liatha, I'm not sure how long Gorge can keep going here. Like, they've got to make a decision. Sure. Sean Preuss is playing middle minutes, although he went 0 of 4. Liatha goes 2 of 9, 1 of 8 from the three-point line. Bull Quoll was just not even there. And
no, I've got Bull Quoll as captain of my all knucklehead team because honestly, I used to think he was a great defender and he was the next stage of Sunday Dech, but all he does is come out and hug players off the ball and then complain about the same fouls he's been getting for 3 years. It's like, mate, wake up to yourself. But I'm not following the Kings' rotations. I can't see how a Kelly
Lepepe,
how he can be a starter, and everyone's saying, oh, he's kept Cam Oliver out of the starting lineup and blah, blah, blah. And they're sitting on the bench and getting spot minutes. We got Tyler Robertson, who's, on the fast track upwards. Now he don't know where he fits. I think that's a team that's not really sure of its identity at the moment.
No, you're right. I mean, you look at Alex Tui, 1 of 9, and he was playing really well. So I think Gorge looks like he is trying absolutely everything that he can to try and find a rotation.
Maybe try 5 and stick with them for longer than 3 months.
Yeah, maybe. You got to. I don't know. And they've got 2 weeks to sort it out. That's what I do know. Let's move to New Zealand. Some news coming out of that, of course. Freddie Gillespie has been released.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if that was a contract situation or whatever. No, I cannot believe they've let him go. I was at the game at the beginning of the year where that, Malay or whatever you want to call it with Sean Bruce. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I led you into it, right? So
it was because you didn't want to say it because it was your little darling Sean Bruce King's player. That's what he headbutted him. Okay, that's what you did.
Okay, so he headbutted him and he got that suspension. And, I didn't think he was that good in that game. And you start to question yourself. And then he came back. Man, I thought he's been tremendous for them over
I think he's been improving.
Absolutely.
Yep. So blocking shots.
I don't know. Look, if Taco Fall doesn't work, we're all going to say, I told you so. But hey, maybe smarter minds are making these decisions because I don't know if he's going to suit our game.
Yeah, beyond yeah, but behind the scenes, we don't know what happens in training and whatever. No. And so I don't know if they're going to go that way. I'm prepared to back their judgment until we see evidence otherwise, mate.
Yeah,
so and South East Melbourne, I still think that they're coming along nicely after a 0-5 start. They're coming along okay. You know, they've still got some stuff to sort out.
I agree.
But that's they're going to be okay. I'm not convinced by Perth.
No, they look pretty ordinary, and you know they beat South East, like you said. Very big discrepancy in the foul count. He's come out and said something to the coach. Yep. Yeah, he's not real happy. And then I saw Romy, the owner of South East, he came out and said it's always a problem when a player, and he meant Bryce Cotton in this stage, takes more free throws than our whole team.
Yes.
So that was an interesting one.
And then, quickly before you get off that, when we get to the Brisbane Perth game, Bryce was a very agitated player because he wasn't getting the benefit of the calls that he got in Perth. So, you know, we're refereeing two different ways. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Tassie got a win, as we spoke about, beating
Milton Doyle.
Milton Doyle was great.
But you know the key to that? Sean McDonald's back. Huge difference.
Yes, he was. Will Magnay was back from injury as well. Yep. But I thought Brisbane blew that a little bit as well. I thought they came out really good and could have got a chance to win that. I thought the difference there is that they needed Keandre Cook. Don't foul. Don't do those silly fouls. They needed you at the end of the game. Rocco thought was pretty ordinary in that first game. Okay, but he was really good against Perth. Good against Perth. That was great.
I got to say, I'm going to say this. For him to make real progress, he has to leave that program at the end of this season because he was tired. Like, he's got no conditioning. Like, what are they doing with him? What are they doing with him? He's 7'100" and he could be anything. And, you know, he's running on empty after playing two or three more minutes than usual. Like, so your conditioning guys let you down. Yeah, your skill, I thought, other than that game, he looked much better last year in his debut than he has this year, other than this game. So I'm thinking, I really like the look of this young man, but I don't think that's the program for him.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, my answer to that is he's not going anywhere next year than NBA at the moment because he'll
he's not ready for NBA.
Well, I'm not convinced that he won't get drafted though, buddy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just could see that happening. But anyway, greater minds will make that decision, and then Cairns rounding out the bottom. Oh, hang on. We have to talk about James Bateman. 28 shots, 33 minutes, 0 turnovers. 9 of 15 from the 3-point line, 51 points.
Yeah. Fabulous. Wow. Fabulous.
Wow. What
it was definitely
what a shooting. Really, I was right there, buddy. I was right there. The crowd was into it. He got a it was just like a standing ovation. It was unbelievable. Absolutely loved it.
And the way it finished, that he just finally got there with four seconds to go. Just make the shot, but got fouled so he could break the record.
It was great.
And he did. It was excellent.
Do you want to talk about Cairns? They're just struggling, man.
No. I think Cairns will be bouncing back after the FIBA break, when they get everyone back and healthy, start to watch out for Cairns.
Give me a quick rundown. Tell me the winners. Illawarra at home. Oh, no, we're doing that next week. Don't even worry.
Forget
about it.
Next week. All right. This is what I think. I'll give you the two winners. I'll give you the two winners, Australia.
Yes. Right, and that's not Boddy who's having, you know, his mental breakdown situation.
No, that's over stuttering. Thailand and Korea.
Okay, what was your, give me your best moment.
My best moment, I really enjoyed everything about the James Bateman 51 points, but Ty Webster drove the lane and threw down an unbelievably wicked dunk in that game. Mm. And if we just want to go a single moment, that was as good as anything I saw.
Ah, nice. Well, I cannot go by. I was sitting there. I was courtside. Yes. I was commentating. And he got that 50 piece, and he's 51. And when he got it, I loved the fact that the crowd just stood up and clapped. Like, they appreciated what an outstanding performance that was. Because we've seen players this year, and let's take Golding out the fact at the moment, you know, they'll have their runs, but they don't go to 50. Right. Mm. He just did it all game. And anytime Perth tried to do anything, he was that dagger and he just kept going. That was an outstanding game. And I was so glad that I could get there, which leads me to my player of the round.
Hang on.
Go on.
I just want to say congratulations to Justin Shule. He makes a lot of subs, but that was a good sub. Take him off with 4 seconds and allow that crowd to appreciate him. Finally, he made a good sub. Yeah. On you go.
That's a dig, but congratulations. Exactly. Player of the round. Come on. We couldn't be doing it again, are we? Please tell me.
Again, it's got to be James Bateman.
How can you?
Got to be.
How can you not? Okay. Give me a nasty. James Bateman, he's our player of the round. Go for the nasty.
My nasty is I just don't like the way the NBL doesn't want to embrace its own history. I don't understand this semantics about, oh, the most points in a 40-minute game when you know that we played 40 minutes from 1979 through to 84. 84 was when we went to 48 and the three-point line. So that's 79, 80, 81, 82, 83. And we just disregard that the most points scored by a Brisbane Bullets player was in 1979 by a guy called Cal Bruton. He got 53. That season, the record, and it stood for quite some time, was 56 from Ken Richardson, and then Reggie Biddings shot 63 in 1981. I don't know why we have to, why the NBL does not really embrace that. I can't imagine cricket saying, oh, yeah, that Don Bradman wasn't too bad, but let's look at what's happening now. That kind of stuff is bullshit to me. Be honest. Don't be semantics. Oh, it's the highest score in the second era, or they say, oh, cut it out. Cut it out. James Bateman's 51 points was an outstanding performance. Outstanding. And the best we've seen in more than a decade.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But let's not pretend it's the all-time best. Tell me your Rosen Rattler.
My Rosen Rattler's going to the Perth Wildcats. Now, I was quite critical with the fact last week where I thought they didn't adjust themselves good enough to allow Chris Golding to be able to get 46. And a lot of those shots that he got was coming off down screens. I think he did hit 9 threes as well or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it was coming off down screens and sort of way too open for Chris Golding. Now, you've got John Rilley, who was an absolute flat-out shooter, you'd think, you know, like, yeah. So, you know, there was talk and you go, right, when a guy's in the zone like that, push him another way, do something. And in my area, if it's John Dorge or one of the other players, put that little boat in the second row, right? So it's Vlahov and Dean Utoff and these guys are like, mate, Mark Dalton, Brad Dalton, like, this is what's going to happen. Well, you can't do that now. Right. Oh, yeah, I got stitches because of that. So for me, I'm thinking, all right, well, what have they learned? 6 days later or 7 days later, whatever it is, now you go 51.
Yep.
So, and some of the shots he's got is wide open. How does that happen 2 weeks in a row where it doesn't matter who's shooting? If it's Chris Golding, you sit there and go, man, it's one of those games. No disrespect, James Bateman ain't Chris Golding, right? Yeah. Now, he is really good, but to allow him to get that, number one, to get that many shots up, 28 or whatever it was, he shouldn't. And number two, I can't believe it. Did you see Mitch Norton? He was not allowing Bryce Cotton to catch the ball. And when he did catch the ball, it was strong. Perth Wildcats, man, you got to play better D. Body, that's my rant.
Okay, and it's a good one, and I really appreciate it, especially with the Wildcats having a guy called Bryce Cotton on their team. It's not like you couldn't learn how to defend a three. But, yeah, he's one of the great three-point shooters.
Just pretend you're
guarding
him.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Let's get out of here. Congratulations to the Australian team playing for the FIBA break. Hope they all go well. And to everyone, enjoy the week, and we will be back next week. See you next time.
Ciao. So, Brad, what do you reckon will be the toughest assignment for the Australian team on this FIBA window? Thailand or Korea?
Oh, no doubt, mate. Landing at Bangkok Airport's never easy. That'll be their toughest.
Yeah, I think so too.